Hi, Rowan. This is kind of something a little different that we're doing. It's a little bonus episode that we're doing because we had a couple of benzo people over that are our friends, lifelong friends, for dinner last night. I did all Lebanese food for them. They hadn't had it, and I enjoy cooking. That's my thing. And so I happened to call Garrett during the day, and I said, hey, you know, when they come over for dinner tonight, what do you think about just coming over and taping the conversation? Because it's something that we did years ago when I thought we'd do, like, a DVD series, and it was three couples. It was all the wives that we were all sick from benzos, and he's like, all right, when I get home from work, and I had asked them, they're like, yeah, let's do it. So it's just kind of quick. We did it at the end of the night after we had some nice food and dessert, and
The audio might not be great. It's just one microphone in the middle of the kitchen table.
Yeah, it's just, right in the middle. And, you know, we were all there. My husband was there. Garrett and his girlfriend, Mariah, were there. And we had Marjorie Common and Sonia Stiblow. And it was just kind of a fun thing at the end of the night that we did. So we hope you enjoy it. And here it comes. Hi, I thought tonight we'd do something a little bit different. Tonight we're having conversations in the kitchen. And we have guests with us tonight. We have Marjorie Common, who was here. We did a podcast with her before. And we have Sonia, who we actually did start to do a podcast with Sonia, but we didn't put that one out, right, Garrett?
No, I would never put that one out.
We never, because we want to do a whole segment on you that we haven't done. And and Marjorie's going to be, she's here in Massachusetts, but going to be going back to Oregon. And Sonia's going to be leaving Massachusetts and going to Idaho, which we're upset. And we have Garrett's girlfriend is here tonight, Mariah. Say hello, Mariah.
Hi, Mariah.
And we have Jill that we always make fun of at the end of the podcast because we're sitting
up
in the closet. we're always sitting up in the closet with all of his clothes doing our podcast. So I thought today, because they were coming for dinner, we had a nice dinner earlier, I thought it would be nice to just get a conversation because we have three different age groups here. Sonia's in her 30s, I'm in my 60s, and Marjorie's in her 80s, just to show, you know, we would never have met in normal life, and what happened to us, each being prescribed a benzos, brought us together. I mean, it just makes you closer than some of your friends for what we've gone through. So, all right, let's just start the conversation off. So, ladies, we had our dinner. So now,
well, I would like to talk about how Sonia and I bonded when I was coming to Massachusetts to think I was going to be living here, but I'm kind of going back for the winter to the West Coast. But anyway. And so what happened is I knew of Sonia as Sonia Healed.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea it was, that was not, I didn't know that was a anonymous name or anything, but she knew I was coming from something I posted. So one day you said on the text or something.
Yeah, let's get coffee.
Would you have time to have coffee with me or something? And the minute we got together, it was like benzos bonded us.
Yeah.
And we got through every level of intimacy in terms of telling our story to each other until I realized, and of course I was needing help. Mm-hmm. And Sonia was doing caregiving while she was during this time in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So basically I hired her to take me places and whatnot. And we just, it was like sisterhood.
It's like we've known each other like past
and
lives.
That was the benzo connection.
And that's so I think one of the things we want people to understand, you could be at home right now listening to this and none of us sound sick, but life is going to go on after and you're going to have this bonding like you two hadn't met. You saw each other online and then you met and it's that instantaneous and now she's helping you and it's, and you and, well, you've known Joe and I now for years.
It's a family.
It's like war buddies.
War buddies. I like that. That's good.
That's
war
good.
Buddies. War we have been through a war and only we can understand.
Yeah.
So it's something we want people tonight as we're doing this conversations in the kitchen that life will get better no matter how sick you are. So Sonia, where we didn't get to do that whole segment on you, do you want to just say a little bit of how you ended up on a benzo and what happened?
Yeah, sure. Pretty textbook story. Had like childhood trauma in my early 20s. Was depressed at the time. I thought there was something wrong with me instead of looking at it as like that's a normal reaction to things. So I did what anybody in that age group would do and went to go see a psychiatrist and ironically thought I'm going to be taking care of myself now and doing the right thing and ended up on a cocktail of five drugs. One, an antipsychotic to sleep, a benzo to sleep, buspirone, which is, I think, kind of like a, it's an anti-anxiety, same sort of deal.
Yeah.
And then I realized over time that, like, I don't, frankly, I don't remember years of my life. That's something I have to psychologically make peace with, that, like, when people ask me things, like, I don't know. I can't give you details. But long story short, I just had to look around and be like, okay, this plan isn't working. Like, I'm stuck in this dead-end job. I'm depressed all the time. I'm on 5 things. I'm going to take an extreme, like, leap and go against all the experts and just try another route. And then I came off of 5 drugs in 5 months, was even longer than what I would be, you know, I did it on my own, I will say. But that's a longer taper than I follow doctor's orders.
Right. And we're both in the Boston area, and there's no help for us.
No, nothing. And, you know, this is the mecca of medicine.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. And just by pure stroke of complete luck, I just Googled meetup coming off of psych drugs and found Laura Delano, and she gave me Anatomy of an Epidemic. And anybody who's in this community, like, you know, knows what happens then. And it was a learning process. And then I was sick for 3 years after I came off and protracted benzo withdrawal and had crappy life stuff going on family time at the same time.
Your mother was sick right at the time?
Yeah, towards the end. And yeah, it was like, you know, complete hell on earth. And
living sick.
Yeah. But I want to say one of the good things, then you now then go to school and you've become a social worker.
Yeah,
to go out and correct some of the wrongs and help.
I've been
some
off
people.
Like about 9 to 10 years at this point, and life is very livable now, you know, like
At the point you went to school, did you feel like you were healed, or you forced yourself to go to school at that point to get your degree?
I was at like a certain level of functioning then. I was okay. I mean, it was, I still have residual stuff at 9 years, but I was like relatively able to do it. But what was difficult for me was to listen to the bullshit being taught in classrooms about, like, you know, like, antidepressants aren't addictive. Like, we watched a video of that, or just completely one-sided view being taught about psychiatric medications. That was difficult and, like, and traumatic.
Some of them that went back to nursing school also had a very hard time listening to what was being taught. And if you talked against it, one almost got thrown out of nursing school. So you gotta keep your mouth shut to get your degree and get out.
I didn't make a lot of friends over that one.
You know, how sad that they, and they, you know, cause now I think things are gonna start. All right, so we just had a little bit of technical difficulties here in the kitchen, and Sonia was saying she didn't make a lot of friends in school, but even though you didn't make friends in school, worldwide you have made a ton of friends. And, I mean, right here at the table we got lifelong friends, and I love that it's brought us all together. And Marjorie, even though we did a whole show on you, you know, it's been a couple of years since we did it. You know, you're going to be 83. And we want
January.
People to know.
I know.
We want people
to embrace. I'm embracing old age.
Yeah. But we want people to know that even, how old were you when you started, when you came off? Because you didn't come off in a very nice way. You were doing it on your own and then got talked into going to a rehab, which was very painful.
Worst
and then
thing
sent
you
home.
Ever do.
Right. And then sent home.
Yes.
And so, but then you've been functioning. As you said, you function sick. But now you've gotten older. We've known you now for, what, 6 years?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, your health is declining, but your attitude is still phenomenal. And thank God for Sonia this year. So there's a lot of things I want to thank Sonia for. Number one, being here to help Marjorie. That was a great connection.
Perfect.
But with the benzo bill, I have to say, even though, like, Garrett, thank God for Garrett, you know, he wrote it and his boss filed it, and it was a lot of work, and then it's almost like I just couldn't do anymore when Joe got sick, and Sonia took over. She takes care of everything, like contacting people and keeping a list and updating people, and we'll let them know that, you know, when the next time we go in for a hearing. So thank you for that. I don't know what I'd do without you. And so even though you're going to go, you can still handle all that. So we just want people to know. We'll probably each give our final word that life does happen after benzos. When you meet people online, your benzo friends, they are important. I've always said you don't have to be online reading every day, but your benzo friends are important. Pick your close ones. They don't even have to live near you. Marjorie's on the other side of the country, and yet we connected. Sonia's in the Boston area, and we just, you know, we never knew each other prior to this. So, any last words, Marjorie?
Well, I guess I just want to add that no matter when you were placed in this very, very precarious position, not knowing that these drugs were going to turn around and bite you, mm-hmm. you really did believe they were going to help you.
Yeah.
And so once they started to turn on you,
right.
then it's a matter of how much are you able to communicate to the medical people who have been prescribing it.
Right. And they don't get it.
And they didn't get it. But then once we started to connect with people early on with the Benzo Buddy group, and that's when that I, and you had to be anonymous, mm-hmm. but eventually I realized you couldn't really be anonymous any longer if you wanted to make change. Mm. So that's when I decided to go ahead and form the International Benzodiazepine Symposium we right. held in Bend, Oregon, right. September of 2017.
Wow, look at how long
And here we are many years later,
yeah.
and though we have some wonderful advocates who are involved now in educating the physicians, mm-hmm. We still are having doctors that will prescribe them at a moment's notice. And COVID increased
yeah.
the especially the Ativan prescriptions in Bend, Oregon at St. Charles. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that was everywhere.
Right.
All I know is that the work you've done, Geraldine, over all of these years has totally
here,
made
here.
The difference in how we in this country are viewing this thing, because all we had was Heather, all I had, you were way involved with the early benzo victims. I got on when Heather Ashton, who I became buddies with on emails, and even visited Malcolm later, mm-hmm. who then edited my first book. I mean, it was just fascinating
right.
how you have spearheaded this right. whole arc of knowledge about this awful thing called the benzodiazepine. Right.
So we want your families to know this is real. You know, we're real people. We suffered real harm.
And you do and get you can better. Get better.
And you can get better. Right. Sonia, I'm going to miss with you. I love cooking for you because you make me feel like I'm a chef and I can, she loves homemade meals. So we had a yeah. nice meal tonight.
I'm just curious, like, you know, this has been going on for like 60 years and we're three women from different generations. Like, aside for some luck here and there, like I'm thinking about like why we survived when there's so many other casualties. Mm. Like,
'cause we had guts.
Well, guts.
We decided hope. We were going to make some impact on
but
what
we're also
happened.
Part of the generation, all of us, that the computer, without the computer, we still wouldn't know. Look how many years prior to
right.
internet, we didn't know. If Garrett's the first one that got me on and said you have to find others like yourself. We were the ones prior to us. So, yeah, we just want you all to know.
Well, however you're going to use this conversation in the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah conversation
you know,
in the kitchen is going to go up as a podcast so
absolutely.
People can listen to us. And
thank you. I
yeah.
mean, really,
yeah,
gratitude.
You,
and
yeah.
to you, Sonia, I mean,
yeah.
thank you for really being there when I really needed some yeah. help here. Beyond benzos, you need
right.
help when you're going
That's
to be
right.
83.
Right.
You
yeah.
know? So
yeah.
I just think it's fabulous.
Yeah. All right, ladies, it's been great. I loved having you here tonight.
Well, we
Garrett,
did it.
Mariah, Joe. It's been great.
Good to meet you.
Yeah.
Good to meet you, too.
All
Thank
right.
you for having
Thank
us.
You all for listening. We appreciate you listening to the podcast and keep spreading the word to come back and listen to more.